It does kind of feel like it's a season of new beginnings. We've talked about Alpha Start in a week or so's time. We've talked about kind of the hubs that are kind of that have come out of the church weekend and that are starting this term. We're also beginning a new series here on Sunday mornings. Can I have the first slide up? Thanks. Called Their Story, Our Story. And so this autumn, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts. In part, it's inspired by Darren, whose surname I cannot pronounce, who did the Bible readings at New Wine. Those of you that kind of heard him and have seen his name, you'll know A, why they're inspired by it, and you also know why I can't pronounce it. So unless anyone's got some good suggestions. It just felt to me like he was speaking into my life and where I am and where I feel we are as a church family. And particularly that process of reimagining church. And if we go to the next slide, thanks Hannah. That was the theme for our church weekend in May, that the hubs have kind of come out of. And so much of the things we've been talking about kind of in recent months about kind of what it means for us to be church in this community, the changes that we're facing with St. Matt's becoming kind of independent of the team, kind of what our vision and our values kind of ought to be. And it just feels like so much of what Darren was talking about spoke into that, what it means to be kind of a build community, to be a missional community. It wasn't, though, just Darren that was talking about that, to really name drop. We had Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he had just published a book called Reimagining Britain, but he chose to speak on the title of Reimagining the Church. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion there might be a new book coming out from the Archbishop of Canterbury with that title. If there is, I fully intend to write to him and ask to have kind of some money for the rights to the name, because we had it first. But kind of what Justin was talking about, again, I think, spoke into where we are as a church. He talked about what a reimagined church might look like. And he said a church that has integrity, a church that loves not just people, but all people, a church that leads people to Jesus, a church that is salt and light, that makes a difference in the world around it. It's fascinating. I don't know whether my notes are wrong or whether he said the same thing twice. A church that, I said a moment ago, leads people to Jesus, a church that brings people to Jesus. I think it just emphasizes the importance of Jesus. And a church that transforms society. Does that ring any bells? It did to me. It kind of, because it all kind of felt connected with the stuff that we've been talking about, both on the church weekend and since then. He also said that if we want to be a church that's fit for the future in this rapidly changing world, it will be defined by two things, and this just really excites me. A relentless focus on Jesus. If we're going to be fit for the future, we can't take our eyes off of Jesus. He has to be our consuming passion. But also, and it's just so refreshing to hear it, kind of coming from the Archbishop of the Church of England, kind of also great flexibility. We can't just kind of do church in the way that we've always done church and assume that kind of it will work. Kind of we have to be flexible and willing to change in the light of the world in which we live now. That otherwise we won't be able to communicate Jesus with that world. And it just felt to me, again, that just kind of takes us back to where we are. It takes us back to our own mission statement. And Hannah, you could just nick that up, which is all about igniting passion for Jesus. You know, it's about the relentless pursuit of Jesus, being passionate about Jesus for ourselves. You know, it was just so, I mean, just so refreshing, actually, to hear Joe's honesty this morning. Sorry to kind of put the spotlight back on you when you don't really want it on you, dear. Actually, sometimes we don't feel very passionate, do we, about Jesus or about our faith. Sometimes it feels like God is a very, very long way away. and at times irrelevant to the lives we're living. And yet there's kind of a call in what the Archbishop is saying and in what we must be about as a church to pursue Jesus and not to give up on that, even in the times when it's difficult. Yeah, and sometimes when it is difficult, we can't do it for ourselves, and we know those around us to just uphold us and walk with us through that season. And that's why this isn't just about individuals, it's about church. And so for me at the moment, it just feels like Acts is the perfect place to kind of explore further what church ought to be. So let me set the scene this morning for kind of what we're going to be doing this term. Acts is a sequel. I know, don't know whether you like your films. Sometimes sequels are not very good. But I'm told some sequels are better than the originals. I don't know whether you agree with this. It's been suggested that Superman 2 is better than Superman 1. That The Bourne Supremacy is better than, I can't remember what the first Bourne one was. Bourne Identity. Thank you. That Star Trek The Wrath of Khan is better than the first Star Trek film. First one was so boring, wasn't it? I mean, that has got to be true. That The Dark Knight, which is obviously Batman, was better than Batman. Was it Batman? That's a good guess, wasn't it? You can tell I'm a real film geek, can't you? And I really know this stuff. That Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, was better than? Better than Star Wars. I seem to have divided the congregation. We watched Paddington 2 the other evening. I confess I've not watched Paddington 1, but I tell you, Paddington 2 was quite good, actually. It's amazing. I'm not going to suggest that this sequel is better than the original, because let's face it, the original is talking all about Jesus. But what I want to suggest to you is that this sequel is as good as the original. I still have the copy of the Book of Acts I was given as a young Christian, and this is going to date me, rather. It was given to me by my RE teacher, Mrs. Crow, who must be with the Lord now, otherwise she'd be about 150, when I was at Mount Grace Comprehensive School. Now, that is a long time ago. It was the book goes back to 1958, which is a bit worrying, really. But it's just a translation of Acts in one volume. And I picked it up, and I read it like you'd read a paperback. And it changed my perspective about anything. It was absolutely transformative. And it was transformative because when you read the Gospels, Jesus does the sort of stuff that you expect God to do. You know, if God was going to come and take human form, what sorts of things would he do? Well, he would make a difference, wouldn't he? People's lives would be changed. And you see that in Jesus in a big way. You know, the sick are healed, the blind see, the lame walk. Kind of it goes on and on and on, the difference that Jesus makes. But kind of if God was to come among us, that kind of is what you'd expect, isn't it? But what is so radical about Acts is it's the followers of Jesus that are doing these things. That's why I resonated years ago when John Wimber talked about first becoming a Christian and going to church and being utterly puzzled by what he saw. Because he had read Acts and his response was, well, when are they going to do the stuff? When are they going to do what you read about in here? And that was what gripped me. So before I go on and kind of get stuck into this, I want to give you a challenge because it feels like kind of, you know, we'd separate Luke and Acts when actually we should perhaps read them as one book. Why not this term take time to read your way through Luke and then Acts almost as if it's one book as we journey through Acts? And kind of, you know, get a feel for Jesus' ministry. And then get a feel for what happens next. And kind of fit the two together, kind of, in your minds. Okay, so both are written to this guy called Philophilus, who Harvey pronounced really well, thank you. He's an individual of some importance, And Luke seeks to write originally an account of Jesus's life. He says, I myself have investigated everything from the beginning, and it seemed good to write an orderly account. So what Luke is claiming is that he's written this so this man would know the truth about Jesus. It's written to give evidence so this man could assess what he's hearing about Jesus and what he's hearing kind of about Christians. And that's significant because by the time Luke writes this, Christians are in trouble. They're being persecuted and they are kind of they're on the outside of society. And it would be easy to kind of write them off as ne'er-do-wells. And so kind of Luke is mounting an apologetic to kind of help people to see the significance of Jesus and kind of understand the actions of Christians in the light of who Jesus is. So kind of why is it called Acts? Well, I think it's called Acts in response to a heresy. There was a heresy in the early church that wanted to accept some bits of Christianity and not others. And in that heresy, kind of they wanted to accept what Paul said and kind of deny what the others said. And so Acts was originally called in the early church the Acts of the Apostles. And it was the stress, not just the Acts of an apostle, as in Paul, who kind of fills up a lot of it, let's be honest, but it's the Acts of all the apostles. And it's the story kind of the apostolic age. And that was why it was given that name. And that kind of takes me to my theme this morning. Because I really want to ask, when we look at Acts, whose story are we actually reading? You know, is it the Acts of the Apostles? Is it the Apostles' story? And if you read it, you'll find that really it features two of them, Peter and Paul. John kind of gets a little bit of a bit part in it. There are lots of other Christians that figure in it. So is it really the Acts of the Apostles? Verse 8 kind of gives us, if you like, the contents of the whole book. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And if you read Acts, you'll find that that's what happens. You'll see what happens when they talk about Jesus in Jerusalem, how Christians take the message from Jerusalem to Judea and then on to Samaria and then to the whole of the known world. And the book really ends kind of with Paul in Rome. So kind of it's that story of the apostolic age. So yes, it should be called the Acts of the Apostles. It shows how that kind of call of Jesus to take this message to the world is kind of worked out. It shows the shift of focus from kind of the message of the gospel being just for Jewish people to being for Gentiles, for everybody, is worked out too. So yes, it is the Acts of the Apostles. But there's another side to it. Is it the Holy Spirit's story? A lot of theologians will say, well, actually, the name, the Acts of the Apostles, kind of you can understand why it was given that name, but it's not the right name. It should have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And that would have been a better name. And the reason for that, actually, is what happens in Acts is almost more about what the Holy Spirit does than what the apostles themselves do. Kind of they aren't even very good at following the instructions that that Jesus did. Anyone know your church history? What did they do when the Holy Spirit first came on them? Did they go to Judea? Did they go to Samaria? Did they go to the ends of the earth? No, they stayed very comfortably in Jerusalem, thank you very much, and told more and more people in Jerusalem about about Jesus. It took a persecution to come along to force them to leave Jerusalem so that they would get on with the next bit of doing what Jesus calls them to do. And it just feels like, actually, if it was left to the apostles, half of this stuff wouldn't have happened. It only happens because the Holy Spirit gives them a big shove again and again and again. And actually, isn't that quite encouraging? Because at times we kind of feel incredibly inadequate when it comes to kind of our faith, either living it out or telling other people about it. And actually, Acts reminds us it isn't about us. It's about what God does through us. It actually, if anything, it shows us the fallibility of the apostles, but it shows us that you can utterly depend on the Holy Spirit. But I've got another question. Is it the Holy Spirit's story? Or is it Jesus's story? If you kind of remember that first bit that Harvey read to us this morning, where Luke says, in my former book, I wrote all about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. Kind of, hear that again. In my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do. So if Luke is about what Jesus began to do, what's Acts about? Acts is about what Jesus continued to do. Jesus dominates Acts, even though he's not physically present. You know, it's in the name of Jesus that a crippled man is healed. It's in the name of Jesus that salvation is offered. It's in the name of Jesus that believers are baptized. Acts continues the story of Jesus. It's about the relentless pursuit of Jesus, to quote the Archbishop of Canterbury. So whose story is it? Is it the apostles' story? Is it the Holy Spirit's story? Is it Jesus' story? Well, actually, it's not one or the other. It's all of those things. It's the apostles' story. Human beings are at the heart of everything that happens there. It is the Holy Spirit's story. It's the Holy Spirit that fills them. More about that next week. And empowers them. Without the Holy Spirit, none of this would have happened. He's the one that transforms feeble, cowardly fishermen into a force that changes our world. And it is also Jesus' story. The church is the body of Christ. They do what Jesus commanded in the power of the Holy Spirit. They share Jesus with all that they meet. They're involved in the relentless pursuit of Jesus. It's all of those things. But actually, it's something more too. Can we have the next slide? I think it's also our story. And that's why I want us to spend time in Acts this autumn. It's the same Spirit that's at work in us that was at work in them. It's the same kingdom that Jesus preached and demonstrated that he calls us to preach and to demonstrate. And so if we're going to reimagine church, what are we doing? Well, actually, we're writing another chapter. We're writing another chapter that might not get added into here, but actually, in reality, is another chapter of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, of the Acts of the Apostles, of Jesus' story. Our lives are about the pursuit of Jesus, and we're called to continue that story in what we do as individuals, as what we do as a church. And that's kind of why we've called this series this autumn, Their Story and Our Story. We want to kind of look at their story, and we want to see how it provokes us to live out our story and to continue kind of what Jesus calls us to. And we want to do that as we kind of think about what sort of church we want to be, what sort of people we want to be this autumn. Let's stand together. Carol, do you want to come and join me?